You know that during the summer, what we're doing is taking a look at various things you've asked about, topics, subjects, questions, things such as that. One of you asked about this thing called envy, a word about envy and our propensity to do it and not to be satisfied with what we have. So that's why we're taking a look at what we are today. And what's the title of the sermon message today? The green-eyed monster. Where did that come from? We tend to associate various emotions with various colors, or various colors with various emotions. If somebody's all red in the face, we associate anger with redness. And if we were to draw a cartoon of somebody who's absolutely enraged or experiencing hatred, it's very likely we would use the color black. You know, associate that with a black, angry rage. And if you're feeling kind of depressed or kind of down, well, we say then you're feeling blue. And we sing the blues, right? And then somewhere along the line, I don't exactly understand how, but the emotion of envy got associated with the color green. At least there's that saying, oh, I'm just green with envy. And then there was kind of this combination of putting things together. Green, envy, and what do we envy with? What do we use? Our eyes, right? We see something that somebody has and we want it. And then what's an apt description of how envy can work in our lives? The green-eyed monster. So let's talk about the green-eyed monster today. Apparently, God thinks it's so important, He made it one of the Ten Commandments, as I mentioned with the children this morning. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse what? 17. Is it at the end of the list because it's the least important, or is it at the end of the list because it's one of the most important? I don't know. You decide. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. You shall not envy. You know, all the other commandments God gave to us deal with actions and things you can do or not do. Don't lie, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. But where does envy take place? Actually, it's taken place right up here in the mind, right? It's taken place in the heart. God lays His finger on an attitude that we have, something internal. But just because it's internal doesn't mean it's not extremely important or extremely dangerous. God would like for us to put in check or to stop right where it is, in your head. Hey, don't envy. In your heart. No, don't covet, because it leads to a lot of problems. Envy, the emotion of it, is not simple. It's complicated. It has several different sides. It kind of starts with a very basic emotion, though, and that's the basic emotion of greed, right? Greed. He's got it. I want it. What's a better description of greed than that? Envy is most readily thought of in terms of our possessions, material things, good things. Indeed, what we have in the 10th commandment here is a list, a partial list. It says, don't covet your neighbor's house. It literally says, don't covet your neighbor's household. And then it goes on to name several important, valuable things that were in households back in that day and time. And it talks about an ox, or a donkey, or a servant, a manservant, or a maidservant. A partial list like that. And I don't ever recall coveting my neighbor's donkey. And if my neighbor had a donkey, I wouldn't want that donkey. I wouldn't want an ox walking around my yard either, pooping all over the place or whatever oxes do. They're useless to you and me. Oh, but not in that day and time. An ox was extremely, extremely valuable for plowing a field, making a living. It would be like a John Deere tractor. in their day and time. And a donkey, a beast of burden, make life a whole lot easier. A pickup truck would be the analogy today. And my neighbor's got a nice pickup truck. Now I might covet that. But we update the list to go on to the house, the boat, the pool, the place down at the beach, oh, the clothes, and the jewelry she wears. Oh, man, I wish I had stuff like that. Well, not me. That would be a woman talking about that. Don't get any ideas now, okay? A watch is about all I need. You can go on to covet her charm or his intelligence or what he's accomplished in life. My goodness, I wish I'd done that. I dare to say that none of us has probably been untouched by the green-eyed monster. In one way or another, we have envied somewhere along the line. And the funny thing is that we envy people, and we so often forget that we think to ourselves, if I just had that one thing, I'd be happy. I'd be satisfied. That would do it. That would take care of things just fine. But that's a mirage. That's an illusion. You know what a mirage is, don't you? You think you see water on the desert and you walk up and get toward it. There's nothing there. It was just the heat shimmering off the ground that made it look like water was there. But once you get there, it ain't there. And therefore, the old story about the old man who asked the young boy, he said, "Son, when is a man rich enough?" And the boy said, "I don't know, when he's got $20,000? The old man said, "No." "Okay, when he's got $100,000? The old guy said, "No." $1,000,000? "No." He kept going, until finally he stopped. He said, "Okay, I give up. When is a man rich enough?" And the old man said, "When he has a little more than he has. And that is never." Our greed knows no bounds. If we catch up with the Joneses, doggone it, the Smiths are ahead of us up there, and the Smiths have more than we do. We catch up with the Smiths and the Johnsons. Oh, they've got more. And on it goes. We would never stop. With greed, there is malice. That's a bad feeling toward other people. You can't help but to envy somebody and not have some degree of not feeling good about him or her, resenting it, not wishing them well, being a little bit angry, miffed or ticked, whatever it might be, that she has it and I don't. And if he has it, at least I can have the satisfaction of disliking him because he has it. Oh, you won't do it to their face, but behind their back you say, "Oh boy, they have it so good, and I just don't like it." It is very hard to be happy for somebody else who has something that we want. It's a maliciousness and hard feeling that just lingers with us and causes an acid to kind of eat in our hearts and to destroy not only what we are, but how we relate to other people as well. But the funny thing is, if we feel that way toward that person, actually, we feel that malice or hard feelings against God. Because we're basically saying to God, "You haven't blessed me enough. Oh yeah, what I've got is good and I'm enjoying what I have, but I need more, I want more. You haven't blessed me enough, God." That's really what you're saying when you envy somebody else. God has shortchanged us. And that's a tremendously bad accusation to make. And it ruins our relationship with God. "You could have blessed me the way you blessed him. Why didn't you do it?" The issue is really with our God. And there's some things that ought to keep the green-eyed monster in check for us, though. Debbie and I spent Friday and Saturday on Bugs Island Lake. A lot of fun. Had a good time. Running around in a little boat. I was enjoying that boat. But you know what? It's only 16 feet long, and I passed a whole lot of other boats that were a whole lot bigger. And there's a great big nice houseboat out there. I don't know, maybe it cost $80,000, $100,000. I don't know what it cost, but you can live out on that boat. It could be easy to envy owning that boat or the many nice houses that are along the lake there. Wouldn't it be nice to have a place at the lake to go to all the time? Well, you think those kind of thoughts, but on the other hand, you got to think, those things are expensive. You got to work really hard and sacrifice a lot of money to buy those things. Then you got to pay the taxes on them. Then you got to pay the insurance on them. Then there's a whole lot of upkeep. Who cuts the grass? Who maintains the thing? Who worries about whether or not somebody's going to break into that home when I'm not there? Oh my goodness, for all the benefits of a nice home on the lake or a great big boat or something like that, there's a tremendous amount of burdens. Why would I envy those burdens? That ought to help. You may envy a celebrity, a famous movie star. Oh, it must be wonderful to be famous. The celebrity envies you because you can walk into a restaurant, nobody bothers you, nobody comes over and annoys you, nobody comes over and bugs you for their autograph, your autograph. You have privacy. They don't. I remember seeing a cartoon many years ago in the comics, and there's this great big freight train going down the tracks, and a couple of little boys who are in the watering hole here watching the freight train go by. And the cartoon shows the little boys saying, "Oh man, wouldn't it be wonderful to be the engineer of that freight train and drive through the countryside on that beautiful locomotive?" And at the very same moment, the engineer is looking down at the boys and saying, "Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be a kid and be in the watering hole and not be in this hot, sweaty locomotive going down the road, down the track?" The grass is always greener on the other side, right? You get to the other side, is it any better? No, because the side you were just on becomes the other side, and somehow things look better over there too. That's the way it goes. The Apostle Paul, in the opening verses that Bob read us for us this morning, said, he was describing in Philippians for us. He said, "You know, folks, there's been times when I've had little or nothing, and I was content. There were other times that I had just an abundance. I was rich. I was rolling in it. And you know what? I was happy then too. And I've had everything in between, little or nothing and a whole lot. And I've learned," says Paul, "to be content in whatever circumstance or situation I've had. It really doesn't matter how much or little," he says. "If you learn how to be content with what you have, that's the key. Then you've got it made." That would be great words of wisdom for us to follow. The trouble with feeling the emotions of envy and coveting, though, is they lead to action. They lead toward us carrying out some kind of movement to obtaining what we can't have. The green-eyed monster is a monster because it's grasping. If not just mentally, if not just emotionally, sometimes physically, we go for it. Now, you know, in a land where there's not much, there's scarcity, this is a really dangerous thing. If there's only so much to go around, that's a problem. But, you know, we do live in a culture in which there is an abundance. And if I were to covet somebody's iPod or their new phone that just came out, what's that Apple phone that just came out? You know, "Oh, man, I want one too." Is that the only one that's around? He says, "Hey, buddy, you can go to the store. There's got about 100 more for them for sale there. You can go get your own." All right, maybe you don't have the resources, but we do have an abundance, and we can all get our own. Although, whenever it might be, in our day and time, the problem is that we can reach for it. We can grab for it. Do you realize the credit problem that is at work in our country? How much people owe compared to how much they own or how much they can earn? It may not be a problem for you. I hope it isn't. Keep it in check. But what fuels the credit crunch in our country, in our personal households? Do people do without? Do they wait and save until they can buy it? No, it's too easy in this day and time, and the credit is there, and the credit card is there. I'll just let the future pay for it. And there's a whole lot of people who are in trouble today because they haven't checked their envy. "Oh, man, I want that kind of car. Oh, man, I want that kind of home. Oh, I want those kind of pieces of furniture in my house." We'll put it on credit and buy it. And that monstrous thing is eating up a lot of people. And you're paying for your money. And your money is eating up. Your money is a terrible trap. It's a terrible trap. But what fuels it so many times? Envy and not being content with what we have. You know, you see it time and time again in the Bible. It fuels a lot of other sins. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the instructions from God and the Ten Commandments, what were the rest of the Israelites doing at the bottom of the mountain? They were saying, oh man, the other countries around us have gods, and they have gods they can see. We can't see our God. I sure would like to have a God that we can see. Why don't we make a God that we can see? How about a golden calf? I like the looks of that. They coveted the gods of other nations, and therefore when Moses came down to the bottom of the mountain, he found them right in the midst of idolatry. God said, don't make any idols. But they wanted what other countries had, so they fell into idolatry. It began with envy. King David envied another man's wife, right? He looked over the top of the building. He saw Bathsheba. Boy, she looks good. I sure would like to have her. Couldn't be content with the wives he already had. He wanted this beautiful gal. Envy led him to do what? You know the story. He ended up getting that woman's husband killed in battle. He lied. There's one of the big commandments. He stole another man's wife. He murdered in order to do it. Three huge sins that all grew out of what? Envy, coveting. And it was disastrous for David, disastrous in many ways. And the book of James that Scott read for us a little while ago, he says, why you all have strife among yourselves? Why do you have quarrels? You know why, don't you? Because you envy. Because you desire what other people have and you don't have it, so you fight for it and you fight about it and you squabble. Some of you have been through this experience with when a loved one dies and the reading of the will and who was left what. Everybody just sits around and says, oh, that's fine with me. Oh, I don't care, right? Now, come on, time and time again, you've seen families that got along well. They loved each other. They were close and so forth here. But when it came to who got what in the estate or inheritance, whoa, battle royale. And I know people who haven't talked to family members in years because they're still mad about what they didn't get out of mama's will or grandpa's estate or whatever, something like that. Boy, the rubber hits the road when it comes to that kind of thing. And it's envy, and it's destructive, and it has destroyed many a family. And I do believe James was talking about stuff like that when he wrote those words a long, long time ago. James also said you can use the Lord's name in vain when you ask God for stuff, and it's just vanity. God, bless me with this. I would like to have this, this, and this. I'd like a high-definition TV with surround sound stereo speaker system and the latest technology in sound systems today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What a vain use of the name of Jesus. Now, you probably say, oh, I wouldn't pray like that. But if we're asking God for things and we're told to pray in the name of Jesus, that is a vain use of his name, because it's all for me. It's all for my desires, all for my will, all for my little pleasures. And the book of James puts his finger on it in the fourth chapter there and says, you're in trouble. Don't do that. Don't do it at all. So you see, this sin is not a small one. It's not a mild one. It's not a little deal. It's not just some passing little feeling that'll go away. If we don't keep it in check, it can grow and lead us into other things. God says, nip it in the bud. God says, don't let it start. Don't even bother envying anything else that your neighbor has because of the destructive power of the green-eyed monster. How is this in your mind today? How is it in your heart? Are you just dismissing it and saying, oh, that's not me, I'm not there? I'd ask you just go back and examine. Go back and think about who you've thought about lately and who you know and what it is you might be coveting, might be envying, and see if maybe you need to just take a little check with yourself so that you can put this in check. And the selflessness of Jesus Christ could live in you and me.